This episode is brought to you by CLA.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, April 5th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. More Americans are ditching the 40-hour work week and working part-time instead. To answer the question, would their lives be happier if they worked less?
Work serves a purpose in our lives. It gives us structure. It gives us purpose and self-esteem. There was a finding from a professor I talked to who found that we don't need that much of it to get that benefit, but we do need that.
We'll talk to WSJ Work and Life columnist Rachel Feinzig after the break.
When it comes to planning for the future, taxes and wealth advisory tend to be viewed as two separate conversations, but some things are just better together. That's why at Clifton Larson Allen, they call it TWELFT. Here's Clayton Bland, Chief Wealth Advisory Officer at CLA.
More often than not, all of the decision-making around the tax relationship are predicated on things that have happened in the past. An investment advisory relationship would be something that's looking at, hey, what are your future goals? How can we allocate capital to help you achieve those goals? So when we talk about 12, tax and wealth together, that's really what we provide at CLA with that combination of both professionals. It provides for the necessary information to make the decision that will have the best impact on you, both from a goal standpoint of my portfolio and also from a tax consequence standpoint of when I file my tax return.
Visit CLAconnect.com for more insights from Clifton Larson Allen. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Investment advisory services are offered through Clifton Larson Allen Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Americans who've reached their limit with long hours are experimenting with working less, a lot less. WSJ Work and Life columnist Rachel Feinzig joins us with more. Hey, Rachel, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Rachel, we've heard from a lot of people over the past several years that the pandemic caused them to reconsider their work commitments. But how much of a trend has this become?
I think it's a real trend. There's data showing that high-earning men have pulled back on their work hours. We've also seen the number of Americans working part-time voluntarily, so that's for non-economic reasons, rise over the last year. And then we've had this experiment with a four-day work week, which has really been taking place in the UK, but they've had a lot of success over there. And I think it's caused a lot of companies and individuals here in the US to think, wow, my life would be really great if I had a three-day weekend every week.
And so how are people who are working less in the U.S. filling out their days?
I think some people are using it as an opportunity to spend more time with their kids. Sometimes that can devolve into childcare, which I think a lot of researchers say is not exactly what we want to see here. Like, the idea is that you're kind of spending less time on work, whether that's caregiving responsibilities or actual paid labor outside of the house. So you want to be spending time on things like hobbies or volunteer efforts. There's also this idea that you could maybe spend that time doing errands, all the logistical stuff of being an adult, you know, that needs to be done that we often spend our weekends doing. And that can free up more time on weekends for us to just, like, be happy and do things we actually enjoy.
You know, Rachel, you mentioned the four-day work week experiment in the UK. That got a lot of publicity. What are we hearing from workers who participated in that?
A chunk of them say that there is no amount of money that would prompt them to go back to 5 days a week. Overall, people have been happy. And I think many people and bosses feel like folks have been productive. I think some of the research coming out of that shows that, you know, these are people who hadn't really thought about doing a 40-day work week and were really surprised to find how much they liked it.
Now, some people will cut back on their work hours, but are they really separated from work, you know, given all the connected devices we have?
Yeah, this is where this can totally go wrong. Maybe you go down to part-time, you take a big cut to your pay, and still every Friday you're logging on because you have demands from clients or coworkers that you just feel pressure to respond to. There's also the sense, I think, that you miss out on promotions, you miss out on key company decisions. It can be really hard to make this work. And with this story, I really wanted to delve into what this really felt like for people and all the benefits, but also all the downsides that folks maybe don't think about when they're just fantasizing about how great their life would be, you know, if they worked less.
But to be sure, not everyone has the financial means to cut back on their working hours to part-time, right?
Exactly. I mean, a lot of people don't work in jobs where you can do this, where there would be the opportunity to do this. A lot of people cannot make ends meet if they're making less money. JR, I have to tell you, a decent chunk of folks that I talk to actually said they were making the same amount of money, especially if they kind of went toward freelance and contract work. They were actually making more per hour being on their own, but there's still a lot of risks and hidden costs, right? Like, you know, your health insurance is no longer paid for and you don't have paid time off and you're at the whim of these companies and there's a lot less stability. So for sure there are costs, but again, I was surprised to hear that it's not always like a just totally slashing of your salary the first year that you do this.
But is there a learning curve to this? You know, removing work from your schedule and not feeling that you're slacking off?
Yes, I heard about this from several researchers who said that, you know, especially if you start doing something like the 4-day work week, at first there's kind of this period where people are like, what do I do? Just because you have that time doesn't mean you're using it well. If you are just scrolling, you're not going to feel great. You really want to be using that time for something that still gives you purpose and makes you feel productive. I think that after a while, people get the hang of it and realize like what a boon it is to their lives, but it can take a little while to adjust. I mean, JR, work serves a purpose in our lives. It gives us structure. It gives us purpose and self-esteem. There was a finding from a professor I talked to who found that we don't need that much of it to get that benefit, but we do need that. And people who have too much time also, you know, suffer from a lack of happiness because we just feel adrift. So it's all about finding that balance of having enough time and using it well.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal Work and Life columnist Rachel Feinzig. Rachel, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by CLA.